Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. And I know this because I checked again today, and it still hasn't changed. It is Thursday, May the 28th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. As we roll along and head towards the weekend. And I guess it's the first weekend of the unofficial, official summer season. The number that you can call here this evening is 603-835-3224. That's 603-835-3224. It's a toll-free number. And you can get me on the line and speak to me on the air. Tonight we got a lot to cover, including, remember the artist who made the now famous Obama Hope poster. And it's been parodied and copied and all kinds of stuff since then. Well, he's in the news, as well as the New York Assembly is in the news. And it's a CI told you so this was going to happen because it was coming, and here it comes. As well as what's going on in San Francisco, that I did not see when I was visiting out there a few years ago. But evidently, in this very left-wing city, there is what they would call typically a right-wing problem. I kid you not. You know, plus a whole bunch of other stuff. So, you know, sit down, grab yourself an iced tea or coffee, iced coffee. Because at least around here, it was hot today. Again, it was good. I was happy. Not complaining at all. There were, late in the afternoon, there was a quick thunder shower, which was fine because we needed the rain, so I'm not going to complain about that at all. It was rather lovely to have a quick, the lightning display was absolutely phenomenal. Where I was earlier today, and I saw the off in the distance the lightning display, from, you know, thunder and lightning type of thing. It was absolutely gorgeous. Mother Nature is amazing. By the way, did you know that? Speaking of Mother Nature, did you know that Obama is suggesting to the Department of Education that we teach climate change in schools? I thought we already were. So if we're not, we probably should make sure that we don't. Why teach a myth? I thought we weren't teaching myths. It is what it is. But anyway, it's from the San Francisco Gate, sfgate.com. Now, this is something that I find. Now, San Francisco is one of the most liberal of cities in the country. By far, hands down. Nobody can argue with that. San Francisco is a very liberal type of town. And, yeah, well, you know, it's the, I guess some people would argue it, but it's the gay capital of the United States, right? And people of everywhere like to go to San Fran. I like to. I would not want to live there. Yeah, no, it's just my preference. Other than that, you know. You know, it's a great place, a great city to visit. I wouldn't want to live there permanently, though. One is it's way overpriced in my book, and it's. It tends to be, because of where it's located off the Pacific in that Bay Area, it always tends to be a lot cooler than the surrounding area. Not to mention, you know, San Francisco's crime rate is fairly high. Its homeless population, yeah, also fairly high. You know, and this is a liberal city, folks. You know, San Francisco is actually a dangerous city. It's not, I think New York City is safer than San Francisco as far as crime statistics are concerned. But San Francisco is much, much smaller than New York City. Hey, when I was there, I saw a person being thrown out of a second story window onto the sidewalk right in front of me. You know, if I was probably, I don't know, 30 paces, if we were 30 paces faster or ahead, he would have landed on top of us. Me and the people that were walking down on the sidewalk. It was that close. I mean, he literally landed right in front of us. On his head. And, yeah, you can look up into the apartment, if you will. Over the balcony, and yeah, they threw him straight through a sliding glass door. Threw him through the door, the sliding glass door, without opening it. Yeah, breaking the glass. Threw him. I mean, they threw him so hard that the guy went through the window and over the balcony banister and onto the sidewalk. And the guy was hurt pretty bad because he tried to get up, you know, you get that shock of pain type of stance. And that's, you know, he tried to jump back up and then when he jumped up and, you know, yeah, I guess that hurt. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then he went boom, right back down again. And you saw three guys in the apartment walk away from the opening. And, you know, they were nonchalant about it. They were big guys, too. They were not kidding around. Whatever this guy did, they were not playing around. And, but I had never seen anything like that in real life. You only see that kind of stuff on TV and in the movies, right? But this was in San Francisco. In supposedly, you know, a safe, not downtown, but in a safer part of, you know, tourist section of neighborhood. Neighborhood, and it evidently not that safe. You know, people get thrown out of windows and stuff, but the homeless factor. I mean, again, we're talking about a city that is highly liberal, but the homeless population, and you know, you look at other cities that supposedly, you know, especially if they're run by the right wingers or Republicans, you know, they're bad, they don't care. But I don't see other cities that I've visited with such a huge homeless population problem. I mean, they were all over the place. Not going to lie. Not going to deny it. You know, San Francisco is a really cool, really pretty city, but it has some major issues and major problems. But we're not supposed to think about it that way or know it because, you know, it's one of the most liberal cities in the Union. It's by far. Now, it's not run by liberal blacks right now, but it's still run by liberals. But speaking of blacks, the sfgate.com, here's a story from a very liberal city. African Americans cited for resisting arrest at a high rate in San Francisco. Now, you're probably thinking, well, that's no big deal. Well, here's the problem. African Americans accounted for 45% of the over 9,600 resisting arrest cases in San Francisco. Now, they only make up just 6% of the population. Now, you can't always say that that the population has anything to do with it, because maybe people are coming from outside the city that don't live in the city, but I don't know where else they would be coming from, because all around San Francisco is probably more, except for maybe Oakland, is probably more expensive to live than in San Francisco proper. Ever been to Sausalito? I know I'm getting off track a little bit here, but I'm just reminiscing about my my trips, plural, to the San Francisco area. Sausalito's, it's across the bay, just a trip across the bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge from San Francisco. Absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely extremely expensive to live. So, and I'm not saying that African Americans can't afford, you know, million-dollar homes, but let's face it, there is not a large population of them. Not yet. No, we were working on it under Reagan. And to some extent, we were working on it in the 90s, but not so much under Obama. I think blacks have lost a lot of economic ground under Obama, especially if they're in inner cities like Baltimore or Ferguson, you know, where their businesses get torched. So these people are not living in, you know, surrounding areas, towns and cities, because they're just too darn expensive. I mean, when you're looking at... I think there was a 1,200 square foot house or something. It was a small 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath in Sausalito that went for like $1.3 or $1.5 million. That's what it sold for. It was a redonkulous. I mean, it had no property. It was right on the major roadway that leads into downtown Sausalito, and you know the tour buses went by there. Tour buses went right by this house. And the house didn't have any, and there was a cliff on one side, and the main road in the front. Not a lot of property, so maybe, you know, people might think, well, you know, maybe it had some property. Well, it had a decent bay view, but that's about it. I guess you're paying for the view of the bay from that point. But let me tell you something. This is the other point. If you're earning 50 minimum wage. And so, do you think earning $15 an hour is going to help you afford to either rent or buy that $1.3 million house? I don't think $15 an hour is going to do it. Just saying. But then again, I didn't notice, you know, McDonald's in Sausalito, and I'm sure that at most of the stores in the business district in Sausalito, they were making more than the minimum wage. But again... well, especially for the kind of shops that were there. But, you know, if 15 bucks an hour is not going to get you much in Sausalito, it might get you a broom closet if you're lucky. So that's another vote against, or reason why I'm not for a government-mandated minimum wage. But this notion that San Francisco is supposed to be, you know, all-inclusive and fair... African Americans in San Francisco are cited for resisting arrest at a rate 8 times greater than whites, even when serious crimes are not involved, according to statistics drawn from court records. Now, from January 2010 to April 24th of this year, law enforcement officers cited suspects of the resisting arrest 9,633 times in cases where the suspect was not charged with a felony. African Americans accounted for 45% of those cited, even though they make up just 6% of the city's populations. Now, the stats are drawn from San Francisco's case management system, which tracks court cases in the city. They include arrests made by all law enforcement agencies that operate in San Francisco, including the police and sheriff's departments. Now, Supervisor Malia Cohen, whose Bayview district was a largely has a largely African American population, said the numbers, if true, substantiate and quantify what we often hear from residents and are a glaring indicator that police in similar situations act more aggressively towards minority residents than they do with white residents, warranted or not. Now, this whole notion that the cops might be picking on blacks. Well, that might be true. Now, this is coming from a guy who fully supports police. Look, they're profiling. And but the problem is that there is this resisting arrest thing. I'm not a huge fan of that. And I think that's a law that we should drop nationwide. I'm going to be honest about it. I think it's a law that we should drop nationwide. But you're probably saying, well, Rod, you can't resist authority. Well, the problem is that authority can just, if they ask you a question and you decide, well, you don't have to answer the question, which you don't, that now they're going to arrest you for resisting arrest. There's no other crime committed. There is no other crime that you could have possibly committed or be proven to have committed or be suspected of committing. Yet now there is a crime, which is actually resisting arrest is actually very serious. And that goes in your record. I think it's a law that needs to be not changed, dropped. It needs to be dropped because the abuse, whether it's intended or not, is well documented. It's a bad law. Now, I do not fault the cops for using it. They shouldn't be able to use it. Then they wouldn't have this problem. You see what I'm saying? If you get rid of the bad laws that the cops are charged with enforcing, then you don't have a problem. You don't have a problem with those laws or incidences. Plain and simple. And no, I'm not talking about drugs. I know some people are out there saying, wow, yeah, see, Rod, that's why we need to get rid of the drug war. No. There are limits. Now, yeah, I agree. We probably should not be arresting as many people who just use an illicit product and don't distribute. We probably arrest way too many of those people and incarcerate way too many of those people. I agree. It does not mean we should legalize all the illicit drugs. Probably pot. Because of the history behind marijuana, I know the history behind marijuana, why and how it became illegal, and I think that's wrong, but that's for another discussion. But when you give certain authority, and it's not just the police department, because obviously the story is about all of those involved in policing activity in San Francisco, which includes the sheriff's department, which includes the state police, which includes any federal agencies that may have instituted some arrests within the city of San Francisco. They all have this power. You know, anyone with a badge, basically, a badge and a gun, can arrest you for resisting arrest. You get my point? I mean, you could be a park ranger for crying out loud. You could be a postal inspector. You know, I think there's 700 of them nationwide that have a badge and a gun. Yeah, they can arrest you for resisting or any of them. It's just a bad law. Plain and simple. I believe it to be a very bad law. I know why it was instituted, because there are a lot of people who weren't giving the police and others in authority the respect that they demanded in when it came to arrestable powers. But let's face it. Just because somebody else was doing something wrong does not mean you go and create a bad law so now it's easier for somebody else to do something wrong. That's not how you, two wrongs don't make a right. Now, if somebody is legally under, you know, because cops can take you in for being suspected of just about anything. If they suspect you of a crime, they can detain you. They don't need to make up one. Seriously, they have the power if they honestly and truly and legally suspect you of possibly breaking a law. They can detain you until they get it cleared up, one way or the other. That's what they can. And you know what? That actually takes real police work to do that. Some of the laws that we've given our law enforcement agencies from local to federal levels really allows them to be a little bit lazy. They don't have to do much. And that's not, you know, we want government to be as efficient as possible, so we don't want them to be lazy at all. And I know there's probably a bunch of you listeners out there that just do not agree with me on this, but I'm telling you the truth. the statistics nationwide do not bear false witness to me. There are way too many instances. I mean, 9,600 cases of resisting arrest. And you know how easy it is to be charged with resisting arrest. If an officer just grabs you by the shoulder and you say, "Let go of me," you can be charged with resisting arrest. No reason at all. You're not accused of a crime. I mean, this is 9,600 times where people are not even charged with a crime. You don't have to be charged with anything else. You understand? Nothing. And many times, people who are charged with resisting arrest are charged with nothing else. They're brought in on no other charge. So it's not that they get to the station and then the charges are dropped. They're not charged at all with any other crime. That's why I say it's a bad law. Because resisting arrest is a serious crime. And it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. Yeah, in some communities, blacks may be targeted more than other ethnic groups, and in some communities, Latinos may be targeted more than other ethnic groups, and then there are in some communities where there really aren't any other ethnic groups, so it's nothing but whites that get targeted. So it's an equal opportunity bad law. It doesn't take, it's not based on any racial profiling when you're looking at national statistics. You know, if you live in a community where there are no blacks, well, or Latinos, then, there's no racial profiling there. There might be other kinds of profiling, but, you can't blame everything on race all the time. I'm just saying you really can't. Sometimes it is true, but it's hard when everybody's crying wolf. It's hard to really determine when there really is a wolf in the hen house. That's something we've got to stop doing. We've got to stop crying wolf when there is no wolf. Because when you do that, just like in the story, when there really is a wolf, nobody's going to believe you. So when we get to the point where we actually say, there looks like there's a problem over in San Francisco with this, nobody's going to really believe it. Because, oh, geez, man, you said this over in Ferguson, you said this over in Baltimore, you said this over in this city, and maybe there really is a problem in San Francisco. I don't know. But nobody's going to believe it because of all the other false wolves around the nation. You know, if you're going to want people to take you seriously, I don't care what it is, then you've got to, you can't put forth false information. You can't lie about something. You have to be honest about it. And then if you make a mistake, you have to own up to the mistake. Like in Ferguson or Baltimore. Yeah, you know what? We made a mistake. We didn't mean for this to happen. We didn't want for this to happen, but it did. And we're going to take steps so it doesn't happen again. You know, the mayor. I said we were giving them room to destroy, but that's not what I meant. I made a mistake when I spoke. What I really meant to say was, but no. They want to continue and voice this idea that there's a wolf in the hen house when there is no wolf in the hen house. So when sometime there really is a wolf in the hen house, nobody is going to believe them. So, you got to ask, well, I don't know how else, you can say it, but yeah, it is what it is, folks. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war, as they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With a Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
New York State, that is.
New York, New York. I love New York. I did it my way. You know, I actually heard somebody try to sing it that way once. Like, you know, what do they call it? Velagro? Velegro? When you do that with your voice. I think it's called Velegro or Velagro, something like that. But they overdid it. And they tried to do it in this operatic type of voice. And it really, to me, it sounded terrible. I don't like that kind of vocals, if you will. But, well, other people liked it. That's fine. Not I. I don't like opera anyway. I know somebody's probably going to say, well, you're uncultured, Rod. I happen to love the ballet. You know, one of my favorite ballet. Yes, it's a holiday theme, obviously, but I happen to love the Nutcracker. I really like the ballet. Ballet is beautiful. I just don't like opera. Not going to hide it. You know, people, well, you know, this is, you know, we're all, well, cultured and wealthy people go to the opera. Not me. Well, I'm not wealthy, but if I was, I wouldn't belong to, what, the Met and go to the opera. Just wouldn't do it. Just say, I mean, those people who like it, that's fine. I have nothing against the opera for those people who like it. I just don't. New York Assembly votes for universal health coverage. Now, folks, I told you this was coming. When they were trying to push Obamacare on us, I said, "This look, we already know that Barney Frank is all behind universal health care, single payer system, and that, you know, Obamacare is the first step into getting that, because they wanted a single payer system now back then, but they knew that the American people wouldn't go for it. So the only way to do it was to sort of incrementally get to it." And I told you that as soon as that they got Obamacare, and when Obamacare was implemented and people were starting to utilize it, that they were going to start pushing for a single payer. And lo and behold, here it is. And this is from the Washington Times. New York Assembly votes for universal coverage. Now, the New York Assembly voted 89-47 on Wednesday for legislation. Now, the Assembly is like the House. Voted for legislation to establish publicly funded universal health coverage in a single-payer system. All New Yorkers could enroll. Backers said it would extend coverage to the uninsured. Now, I thought Obamacare was already extending insurance to the uninsured. Isn't that what, yeah, we're going to, you know, everybody's going to be insured. Because, you know, you got to be. So you could enroll if you, I guess they're saying it's going to be, you know, I don't know how it can be a single payer system if it's voluntary. Because what if you don't want to be in the single payer system? Well, all New Yorkers could enroll, and Backer said it would extend coverage to the uninsured and reduce rising costs by taking insurance companies and their cost out of the mix. Folks, I told you that was their whole goal, was to take insurance companies out of the mix, so to speak. Now, with no patient premiums, deductibles, or co-payments for hospital and doctor visits, testing, drugs, or other care, New York Health would pay providers through collectively negotiated rates. It would be funded through a progressive payroll tax. Yeah, here's the kicker. There would be no patient no premiums. You would pay no premiums. Oh, yeah, everything's covered. No premiums, though. It's free. But it's not free. So with no patient premiums, no deductibles, no co-pays. So, you know, unlike Obamacare, where people have, you know, some families have $4,000 or $6,000 in deductibles, there's no co-pay, so you wouldn't have to pull out a $20 bill or something every time you went to the hospital or the doctor. And you could get your testing and your drugs in your hospital and doctor visits all included. And New York Health, the entity that would administer this, would pay providers through collectively negotiated rates. In other words, they would say, well, look, okay, doctor, you know, you usually get $100 for this procedure. Well, we're only going to pay you $50. Like it or lump it. That's seriously what's going to happen. But all that is going to be funded via a progressive payroll tax, paid 80% by employers and 20% by employees. Unless you're a small business, then you're paying 100%, obviously. Well, you know, you're the business owner, and you have to pay, you know, the business half and your half, and your personal half. It's not even half, but you're 80%, and then you got to pay, you know, make up for the 20% of the employee if you're the employee. Now, waivers would be sought, so federal funds now received for New Yorkers in Medicare, Medicaid, and Child Health Plus would still apply. So if you don't use, you know, the state money, you can still use the federal money, but it's all going to be government money, which is from the taxpayer in the first place, which is still going to come from a single payer, which is still going to be government health care, which is still going to be determined whether or not you are worthy enough for, you know, certain procedures. And obviously, you know, the government's going to look there. The only way that you can, there are only two ways to cut cost in the healthcare system. One is to reduce what it actually costs. So in other words, if a doctor normally gets $100 for a particular procedure, well, you cut the cost by saying the maximum you're going to pay is $80. So that's a $20 reduction. You save $20. So the doctor, you know, either they have to take it, or they have to get out of the system, or they leave the medical profession. Or you deny usage of the system, or you deny coverage. You know, hey, you need a hernia operation. Well, that hernia operation is going to cost like $6,000. Nope. Denied. Why? Because you're 60 years old. We don't think, you know, you at your age you should have it. Well, what if I pay for it? No, you can't pay for it. Everything's under our system now. So denied. So now the system doesn't have to pay out $6,000 because it just denied you. That's the way it's going to work, folks. And I know some people are saying, well, that's not true. Well, I told you that they were going to make a push for single payer. And I was told, no, they're not. That's not true. But lo and behold, there it is. They're shooting for single payer. And I said this back in 2009 and 2010. Employers are shifting more and more healthcare costs to workers or are dropping it entirely. The only ones who benefit are the insurance companies. Well, shouldn't the employer or the employee be the one who's responsible for their own healthcare in the first place? I think so. It's not the employer's responsibility. I don't know why it became such, so people became so enamored with this idea that somebody else should pay for something as personal as health insurance coverage. Let's face it. You know, it's more personal than car insurance, but we don't expect our employer to pay for our car insurance. It's more personal than life insurance, but we don't expect our employer to pay for a full-blown life insurance policy, even though some companies, depending on, you know, where you are, what level in the company you are, they might include it as part of your benefits, a small, you know, policy, you know, that pays out $5,000 or $10,000 or something. But, and sometimes, you know, depending on what position that you have in the company, the company decides, well, they're going to be the beneficiary in case of your death. But that's far and few in between. That doesn't happen a lot. So people don't expect their employer to pay for their life insurance. But that when it comes to health insurance, well, that's a different story. Now people don't want to pay for it. Oh yeah, you know, I'll pay for my homeowner's insurance, I'll pay for my car insurance, I'll pay for my umbrella insurance, I'll pay for my, any of my life insurance, I'll pay for any other kind of insurance out there, but I'm not going to pay for my health insurance. My employer should pay for my health insurance. Why and how did we get to that point? Makes no sense to me. How are you going to get the type of, the type of treatment that you want? You're not, because you're not the owner of the policy. The employer is. So if you find a way, if you're the employer and you're the one that's, you know, on a daily basis interacting with the insurance company, they'll probably treat you a little bit better. But if you're just an employee and a cog in a very large wheel, the insurance company is going to say, so what? And that's how it's going to be with the government in a single-payer system, because there isn't going to be a big squeaky wheel unless you're a government official. Just not going to be there. So basically, Assemblyman Richard Gottfried, a Manhattan Democrat, estimated universal care would save New Yorkers more than $45 billion annually, cutting the statewide total cost for health care to about $255 billion in 2019. Which is a bunch of crock. It's never going to save that much. It's not going to save a dime. It's going to cost even more. And how do I know? Because it always has. Because they make some very large false assumptions. One, that, you know, people aren't going to use the system any more than they are now. Two, they're going to have all the money that they need coming in because they're basing it on the current tax system and tax level. They know it, but they don't believe it or won't admit it, that the tax volume is going to go down because businesses are going to fire people. There'll be fewer employees working in the state of New York. So thus fewer tax dollars for, the healthcare thing. And if people do not have to pay any deductibles or any premiums, what is now going to stop them from going to the ER or to the doctor with the sniffles every time it happens? Nothing. They're going to go. That cost is going to increase. So this whole notion that they're going to actually save all this money is bogus. And most people out here in the real world realize this because, we were told it was going to cost us, less than $1 billion for Obamacare, whatever the number was. But now it's twice that number. Well, we didn't factor in this and we forgot this. Well, of course you did. You forgot it on purpose. Plain and simple. I mean, you did. You did it on purpose. It's not something that just happened. So basically what they're telling you is that this is, I guess what they're going to try to do is they are going to try to implement this type of thing on a state by state basis. Whether or not you want it, whether or not you and I want it is irrelevant. Because, they're out there trying to say that they're going to save all this kind of money, even though, again, we thought Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, that's what it's actually called, was going to save all this kind of money. And it didn't save in fact, it's costing us money. It is actually costing a majority of people who've enrolled more money than before. A lot of people don't get to keep their doctors. They saw their premiums increase and or they saw their deductible increase and or they saw their copay increase. Some people didn't have they had a very little copay before, and all of a sudden now they're faced with a $20 to $50 copay. Well, I didn't have that before, you probably said. Yeah, I know, but now you do. Well, that's not fair. I thought this is supposed to be free. Look, I have told people I don't know how many times we can't afford free. It's too expensive. And I know some people just don't get that. Well, how can free be expensive? Free is free. Well, no, somebody's got to pay for it somewhere. It just doesn't materialize out of the goodness of every single person's heart and then, you know, just go back into the goodness of everybody's heart. No, somebody has to pay for something. Nothing is ever free, totally. Never has been, never will be. Speaking of free, Hope poster artist Shepard Fairey, it says Obama let him down. I kid you not. This is a political story. The Hope, you remember the famous Obama Hope poster, that kind of like in the harkens back to the Chavez poster, Chavez, whatever. Shepard Fairey is his name. Shepard is his first name, as in Shepard Smith. But his last name is Fairey, F-A-I-R-E-Y. Now, you know, he doesn't look like a fairy. He doesn't. He doesn't look like he's in a suit and tie in this picture, so he doesn't really look like an artist, but he doesn't look like a fairy. But Shepard Fairey, the street artist behind the famous Obama Hope poster that went viral during Barack Obama's historic 2008 presidential run, said that the president has not lived up to his expectations. Now, I don't know what his expectations were, but he's lived up to my expectations. And those expectations were not good, actually. So it is unfortunate that the president has lived up to my expectations. But I guess the street artist called Shepard Fairey isn't too happy. Now, in an interview with Esquire, Fairey acknowledged that Obama has had a really tough time. How's he had a really tough time? I mean, just about, especially in the first 2 years, he had a Democratic Congress and Senate that could have given him anything he wanted. But said he's not even close to having lived up to the Hope of poster created for him. He says, I mean, drones and domestic spying are the things I would have thought he'd support. Or the last things that he thought Obama would support. Really? I could have told you he was going to support that from the start. He tempered his response, saying that he's met the president a few times and that he thinks he is a quality human being, adding that his presidential record has been largely dictated by things out of his control. Oh, like ISIS? Well, you know, he's kind of in control of that, or was. He's a little bit responsible for that, for the potential fall of Iraq. Again, you know, that's up to him. He's a little bit responsible for that, for wanting, Obamacare. Yeah, he's a little, well, I get, Fairey probably wanted Obamacare. So for that, you know, he's holding up his end of the bargain, I guess. Now, Fairey goes on to say, I'm not giving him a pass for not being more courageous. The guy's a coward. I don't know how you can be more courageous I suppose he can be more courageous since he is a big coward. He won't stand up to anybody anywhere at any time, except, you know, the American people. Now, he'll stand up to us, but he won't stand up to other world leaders and terrorists and whatnot, but he'll stand up to the American people. And, you know, I said, hey, you know, I'm president, and what we say goes. But he says, I do think the entire system needs an overhaul, and taking money out of politics would be really a really good first step. Now, I don't know where these people get this notion that they can take money out of politics. That's all it is. It's all about money. At some point, I mean, it takes money to run a campaign. Plain and simple. Well, if everybody was able just to, it still takes money, and somebody's going to be able to raise more. Even if you can only raise a dollar at a time, somebody's going to be able to raise more than somebody else. That's just the way it is, because there's going to be people that support a certain person. They're going to have more supporters than somebody else. That's just the way the system is and the way the system works. It's not very complicated, not at all. But I know they try to make it sound complicated, but it's not complicated. And taking money out of the politics is not plausible or possible. Unless, of course, you know, you're in control of the whole thing and you're running around, you know, you have a giant dome, I guess, and you put all the candidates in this dome and you lock the world out and say, okay, have at it, candidates. Just have at it. Unless you say, well, there's no need for advertising. There's still going to be money because, you know, you're going to have to, government. I know government can often says, do you want a certain amount of your tax? I think it's $1 or $2 of your tax refund or what have you to go towards the, the presidential fund. It used to be a checkbox on your IRS form. So evidently even the government knows that there's, you know, it takes money to run a campaign. So this whole notion that you're going to take money out of it is such a, because the Democrats use it just as much as the Republicans do, if not more. So look, Obama raised more money than Mitt Romney did last time around, and he spent more money. So why is it all of a sudden now when there's a potential for a Republican to score some big money, you know, like a Cruz or a Bush or a Rubio, we got to get money. We got to get money out of it now. Got to get money out of it. You know, Mr. Ferry, you should have thought of that when you made the Hope poster, because your Obama friend, you know, he upped the ante in raising money and spending it on a presidential campaign. Do you understand, Mr. Ferry, that this was the first time that a candidate spent over $1 billion in order to get elected? So now we're supposed to think that we're supposed to take money out of it? Why? He's the one that put money in it. And I know what they're all saying. They're all referring to the Citizens United, because corporations are not people. Well, yeah, actually, in a legal sense, they are. Because just like a person, a corporation can be sued. You just can't send the corporation to jail, but you can send, you know, the people who run the corporation to jail. Sure. But that's the only difference, because there isn't an actual human body of a corporation to send to jail, but they can be fined heavily, so it's just like going to jail. The whole point is that they also have a right to have a voice, but if you want to take them out of the equations, why don't you start with some of your liberal friends first? You know, George Soros is not innocent of accepting or giving money. He gives a lot. But, you know, I guess that's okay. It's the Koch brothers that we really are focusing on. And that's who the liberals always focus on. Even though Soros has given more money than the Kochs, it's always, you know, something to do with the Koch brothers. You know, they're the ones who give too much. And that they need to be stopped. And that, Citizens United needs to be reversed. Why? Especially when you Democrats are probably reaping the benefits more than anybody else are. But I guess we need to stop all the fundraising and actually just talk to people and tell them the truth. Really? Nah. I don't think Democrats can handle. You can't handle the truth.